this evening's lesson is quite simple. It is something that I'm confident would be beneficial to everyone that is in attendance tonight, no matter the age. As long as you can do what I'm going to encourage us to do, you'll benefit from it. A couple of quotes to kind of start our thoughts this evening. Our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, said, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." An individual by the name of George Mueller. He's an individual that established many orphanages throughout England, said, "I believe that the one chief reason that I have been kept in happy, useful service is that I have been a lover of Holy Scripture. It has been my habit to read the Bible through four times a year in a prayerful spirit to apply to my heart and practice what I find there. I have been for 69 years a happy man." Happy, happy, happy. Both of these individuals speak of their habit of reading the Bible daily. And I believe that this is a habit that many great people in the past have engaged in regularly, and many still today do this, reading through the Scriptures. But I'm afraid that if the truth were known, there are fewer and fewer people who have developed the habit of daily Bible reading. Many may not have ever read all the way through the New Testament. And perhaps even fewer have never read the entire Old Testament. But I agree with a couple other individuals. Patrick Henry, who said, "The Bible is worth more than all other books which have ever been printed." And Charles Dickens said, "The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world." Again, one lesson for tonight. One thing that I want to try to get across. And that is the objective to encourage every person to develop the habit of reading your Bible daily. I realize that we're 3 weeks into January, and there may have been some resolutions that have been made and already broken. But I thought that this was a good time for us to, again, remind ourselves of this important aspect of our lives as children of God. We just sung the song, "Nearer My God to Thee." How close can we get to God if we're not reading through His Word? To help us get motivated in this regard, I want to notice very quickly some reasons why it is necessary, it is good for us to develop the habit of reading our Bible daily. And the first is that it is God's power to save. God's Word is what saves us. It saves us by producing faith. Romans chapter 10 in verse 17. Romans 10 in verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do we want to have a faith in God? Do we want to continue to have a relationship with Him? Do we understand that it is God's word that saves us through faith? The Hebrew writer tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus says in John 8:24, "Without faith, we cannot be saved." We went through the reading of the Gospel of John over the course of the month of December on the radio program. And one of the things that is very clear when you go through the Gospel of John, the whole purpose for John writing all the things that he did concerning the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Jesus performed, he says all these things are written down so that you might believe, so you can have that saving faith. We recognize that it is God's word that saves us by causing us to be born again. God's word saves us by us being born again. If you turn over in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice the connection between our new birth and the word of God. In verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, we had read for us this morning, John chapter 3. And we can remind ourselves of the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, and the instruction that Jesus gives, the truth that he teaches with Nicodemus, that it is necessary for us to be born again, not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. It is a birth, that rebirth involving the water and the Spirit. And that comes when one receives the incorruptible seed. When that seed, the word of God that's pictured throughout many parables of Jesus, that's planted within our hearts, that germinates, that produces fruit, it causes us to be born again. And God's word, it saves us by keeping us with knowledge of God and his instructions. The Apostle Paul frequently spoke of the value of God's word. For those individuals at that point in time, when the New Testament was still being written, he pointed back a lot of times to the Old Testament to remind those individuals of the value that the Old Testament had. To the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 11, now all these things happen to them as examples. If you go back to the opening verses of chapter 10, you see of the things that he's reminding them of, the things of Moses and the Israelites. Events that are recorded back in the Old Testament, he's reminding these people of those things and saying they are as examples. They were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We can look back to those Old Testament examples. I remind you of what the Apostle Paul writes to the young man Timothy concerning the Old Testament scriptures and how valuable and profitable they are. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We recognize the value Old Testament scriptures, what it can keep us aware of, how it can instruct us. You know, we go back to the prophet Hosea. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How do we gain knowledge? We gain knowledge and insight into God and his word by reading it on a regular basis. We also need to read the Word of God because it has the power to comfort us. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Just thinking about the simple aspect of reading our Bibles and what that can provide, Paul tells us that it can provide for us a comfort. Now, in this context, again, he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. It even provides an assurance of the hope because it tells us how God has always kept his promises. When we go back and we look at the Old Testament scriptures and we see how God dealt with the Israelites, when he said, "This is what I'm going to do," and then he did it. When he told Abraham, "I'm going to do this," and that's what he did. What a great blessing and comfort it is to know that God is keeping his promises of to Noah, to Abraham, to Adam. And God keeps his promises today, and we can take comfort in that fact. When he promises us a home in heaven for those that are faithful, what a wonderful blessing and comfort that is. And we're reminded of that when we read through the scriptures. It reminds us of the hope that we have. God's word comforts us not only with the hope that it gives us, but it also comforts us with the happiness, the blessedness that it provides. I like the words of the psalmist. In Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We gain happiness through the sustainability, the stability of God's word, the nourishment that it provides. And did you catch how often that individual is engaged? Thinking about it day and night, meditating on it day and night. God's word comforts us with joy and happiness through his word. God's word also provides comfort through the peace that is offered through his word. In Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Remember, we're thinking of reasons why it's good and profitable for us to read the Word of God. Great joy have those who love your law. And with such inner peace, nothing causes us to stumble. If we go back a few verses in that same psalm, Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93. Unless your law have been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. By your precepts, by your law, by your word. Robert E. Lee is quoted as saying, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength." This is just the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more that we could go and look at to show what the Word of God provides for us. But I thought these are two very fundamental aspects that we can consider and think about when we're looking at this idea to encourage ourselves, to encourage each other, to read the Bible daily. to be involved and engaged with the Word of God. And so for the rest of our time, what I want to do is to try to look at this idea of what can we do to create a positive addiction to reading our Bible. Oftentimes when we hear the word addiction, we think negative. We think of drug and alcohol addiction. We think of it in a negative term. We think of bad habits, things that we want to get rid of. But when you stop and you think about those things and how they're described, those addictions are such that those individuals just have to do it. And they do it so much that it almost becomes second nature to them. They do it without much effort or without much thought. I don't know if this is the best illustration for this kind of thing, but just to get into the mode of this is what I do. For whatever reason, this comes across my mind. How many of you that are licensed drivers get into the automobile, when you pull out your car key, you look over at and find again that ignition spot? Versus how many of you just pull it out and can almost blindly stick that key in exactly where it is? It's become second nature. It's just what you do. What do you suppose that is? Is it because you only get in your car once a year? Is it because you only get in your automobile and drive it once every 3 months? Maybe once a week? I don't know about you, but for those that have full-time jobs, you're in your car at least twice every day. It's something that just becomes second nature. It's what you do. And we do it so often that it's a habit. But when you think about positive addictions, things that we involve ourselves in, things that we make part of our lives that are good for us. Think about exercise. Exercise can become a positive addiction. And those that have made exercise a pleasurable and frequent experience soon become addictive to it. And they just, it's a part of their lives. And if they go a few days without doing that, there's a little bit of uneasiness. There's a depressed aspect, that maybe a little more irritable because they haven't been doing what they had for so many days, weeks, months prior. Now, of course, if you go on without exercising long enough, that discomfort's going to eventually pass. And so what we're trying to do is to get instilled in our mind that we want to make the reading of the Word of God a part of our lives. We want it to just be that when we have gone without reading, that we're uneasy. Positive addiction is a habit that is good for you, whether physically, mentally, or spiritually. It is something that can be a source of pleasure and something a source of satisfaction. And if you neglect it, that you can get to having some withdrawal pains. The reason why this idea of having a positive addiction to reading your Bible daily is because it helps you maintain the practice of reading the Bible. It's not a chore. It's not something that's on a to-do list kind of thing where, oh, I've got to go, I've got to set it. You look forward to that period of time. Should a few days go by without reading your Bible, the discomfort that you experience can help motivate you to get back on track. Most people who have tried reading the Bible daily and did not keep it up are people who have never experienced a positive addiction to reading the Word of God. Rather than a pleasurable experience, it was to them a chore. so when they fell behind in their goals, there's not much motivation to catch up. Not much motivation to get back to it. Well, how do we create this positive addiction to reading? What are some things that we can do? Well, let me start off and say, well, you start slow. You start with some small goals. There are lots of people that have lofty goals of running a marathon. Now, this may surprise you, but those that go out and run a marathon who have never run a marathon, don't go out their first day and start running 13 miles that day. No, they build up over time. And the same can be seen in our reading of the Bible. We have to make this experience a pleasurable one. If we go about exercising the wrong way, the daily workouts, if they're painful, if they're miserable, then we're going to look for an excuse not to exercise, and it's going to prevent us from keeping that up. And the same applies to reading the Bible. There are too many that they try to do too much too soon. And the experience soon becomes, well, it's just checking off that list, and it's a chore, and it's laborious, and it's not pleasurable. And so we start small. We start slow. We have small goals. Think about, I was talking with David just before service and asking him how his classes were going. Now, David is studying to be an engineer. For those that are aware of what it takes to become an engineer, you know there's lots of math involved. You know, to get to that level of calculus and beyond, you got to start with 2 plus 2 equals 4. You got to build that into your brain. You got to have that set and then start adding to it. It is indeed an admirable goal to read through the Bible in 1 year. But oftentimes, we start reading through the Bible in 1 year, we get through Genesis and familiar stories and things that we're excited to remind ourselves about. And then we get to Exodus, and oh, that's some things that we're familiar with too. And then we get to Leviticus and Numbers and the names. And we might do what some have called the Passover method, where we just start passing over those names. I don't know how to pronounce those names. I don't know who those individuals are. If we're going to start this and make a positive addiction, start with just the New Testament for a year. Read through the New Testament in a year. About a chapter a day. Material's easier. And certainly ought to be a great bit more edifying, because it is things that relate to us today, the church. And once you've read through the New Testament in a year a couple of times, you read through the Old Testament 1 year, then you can begin, we build on it. And the sooner we start, the sooner you start training for that marathon, the quicker you're going to get to running that marathon. Start small. Start slow with small goals. If we want to build a positive addiction to reading our Bible, let me suggest you start with a prayer. A prayer that, like is found in Psalm 119, in verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. What that is going to do is help us focus upon what we're reading. We're asking for God's assistance with his word. Remember, and this was read tonight, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. When we start with prayer, we're getting our mind into that receptive mode. God, open my eyes. Help me see. Let me suggest also that we would do well to read slowly and carefully. This really benefits us when it comes to the comprehension aspect of it. And I realize that there are people that are able to just kind of look at a page and just and then flip, and they're just seeing the words. We don't want to do the Word of God that way. We want to read it carefully. We want to know what it is that God is telling us. Psalm 119, in verse 15, the psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The man that we read about, the blessed man in Psalm 1, able to meditate on those things. If we're just going through a page and noticing that there are words there in a little bit of an order, and not reading it slowly and carefully and thinking about that, it's going to be very difficult for us to think about it later. We want to pay attention. Might even suggest read it out loud. This is a great thing for young families to do. To sit down with your children and read the Word of God to them and with them. When we're reading through the Word of God, we want to make use of study aids, Bible dictionaries, Bible maps, things that can help us visualize what we're reading. I mentioned the idea earlier of kind of passing over some names. If we don't know how to pronounce it, that doesn't mean that somebody doesn't know how to pronounce it. And it doesn't mean that there's not somebody that's done some research before and given us a list of all the times that Josiah's name is mentioned within the scriptures. And we can see that name and we can follow through. When we're looking at places within the Bible, when we look at things that we're familiar with, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Ur of the Chaldees, but then there are some other places that we may look, oh, I don't remember where Gilead is. Is that on the east side or the west side of the Jordan River? We'll stop, take some time, and go do a little research. Because every time you do that, there's so much more of the Bible that you can soak in. Take just a moment to look up those things that you're unfamiliar with and references. Talk to others about what you've read. Here's just a little challenge. If you haven't already, or even if you have already started working through the Bible, any section of it, a portion of it, and have already set goals for daily Bible readings, come Wednesday night, you're going to have read three sections of the Word of God. When you show up Wednesday night, tell somebody about it. Talk to them about what you read. If we don't, might get lost. But when we talk about things that we get excited about, things that we have newly discovered or figured out, and we share that information with someone else, we retain it. And what an encouragement it would be to those other individuals. It might just be the nice little reminder. One thing that if you want to use some electronics, there's many apps that are on tablets and phones and such, and you can connect your reading with someone else that you know of. Kind of similar to perhaps some accountability and exercise and things of that nature. You have an accountability partner. Well, notice that read through this. Well, it could be that just by you discussing what you've read about, it might be that nice little reminder, that little nudge for them to be reading their Bible. We want to make sure that when we're reading this with the intent to be obedient to it. Otherwise, this is really of no value to us. We want to read with the intent that I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to compare myself to what I see within the Word of God. Again, James chapter 1. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. And he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If we're just sitting down to read this just because we want to say, yes, I've checked off and read that passage, if we're not reading it with intent to be obedient to what it says, we're just like that forgetful hearer. And to realize that the one who is doing the will of God, this one will be blessed in his what he does. The joy that comes from an application of God's word in our lives. We started with a word of prayer. Let's end with a word of prayer. This one might be like what is expressed in Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Or verses 10 and 11 of that same psalm. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'm confident that if we follow these suggestions, that the practice of reading the Bible is going to be one that will be of great joy. The psalmist says, Psalm 119 and verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Are you familiar with those individuals that go to thrift stores, yard sales, and as they're looking around and they're perusing through and they find that one thing that the person who's selling may not have a clue as to what it is, but they know the treasure that's there. Do you know the joy that's going to come across that individual when that's found? I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Kind of a crude illustration, but it just happened to cross my mind. Ever put on a jacket, reached in the pocket, pulled out a $20 bill that you didn't know about? The joy, friends, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about getting involved in reading of the scriptures. Doing this on a regular basis, it is a positive addiction. And it will quickly develop into one that you'll want to keep up as a wonderful habit. I said at the beginning that this is very simple, straightforward. One point in this lesson to encourage each and every one of us to be reading our Bibles daily. And I hope that in some way I've encouraged everyone to begin. If you've never done so, take some of the suggestions and follow through with those. Hope I've encouraged you to begin doing that. If you've been doing it and have been doing it for a long time, then I hope that you can continue to do so. And perhaps there are some things that have been mentioned that can assist you in reading, continuing to do so. If you've tried in the past, but you've failed, try again. Get back up. You fall off the horse, what do? You get back up on it and start riding it again. You don't just look at it and say, I'm never riding a horse again. There's another phrase that comes to my mind that my dad used to tell me that if you ask me after services, I'll try my best to remember and tell you what it was. To illustrate that as well, if you've tried in the past, try again. We can do this. There is so much to gain by reading the Word of God on a daily basis. And friends, there's so much to lose if we don't. The Word of God is very clear, instructing us what we need to do in order to have our sins washed away. Faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and being baptized, we can have our sins washed away. We can be born again. We can be made a child in God's spiritual family and begin exerting ourselves to godliness, starting small and building up great. And if this is something that you've never done, again, start small and build up, and you can be great at it. There may be those in our audience this evening that have sin in your life that you need to acknowledge. There's sin in your life that you've committed that you need to make a public confession of. If you're a child of God and you want to take that opportunity, here it is. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed later. Let's make things right with God while we have the chance. And if there's some means by which we can help you making your life right with God, we bid you come as together.